There's not going to be much Bible in this message anyway. So. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. I'll bring a message kind of been on my heart for several months. And I'll be honest with you, the only reason I hadn't preached is I didn't have a real good illustration to hang it on. And the Lord gave me an illustration, and I'm going to use it this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible said, "Everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Let's pray. Father, help us now. We need Thee. We need Your power. We need Your help. We need Your strength. And we certainly need Your wisdom. I pray, O God, be with us this day. Help us to preach. Help us to preach to needy people. May it reach down and touch our hearts, change our lives. And I pray, O God, that somehow we might bring honor and glory to Thy great name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. Now you notice there that it did not say that there was a time for no purpose. There's a time for every purpose. God doesn't allow much time for doing nothing. When you read your Bible, it becomes pretty clear, pretty obvious to even the most casual reader that God's a God of doing. He's a God of action and activity and purpose and direction and just drifting and being purposeless. There's just not much room or space in God's program for that. You only have so much time, and God expects us to utilize it, make the most out of it, get done what we can in it. Yet I've noticed that at least in our generation, the generation that I can see and watch and analyze, we spend a lot of time to no purpose. We just kind of drift through life. Not much purpose, not much direction, not much goal. Path of least resistance, just whatever's the easiest. We seem to have a whole generation like that. Now, when you look back at our history, it wasn't always that way. Used to, men grew up knowing they had to get a job and provide and work and labor. That was just a man's lot in life. And a woman knew she was going to get a husband, bear children, be a housekeeper. That was her lot in life. And so we learned early on how to do those things and how to do the... Women knew how to be housekeepers and cooks and seamstresses and lovers and everything else under the sun. And men knew how to work and provide and take care of and do. And so we had purpose and direction. But anymore, we're so busy playing and playing games and being entertained, people these days don't even think about getting married anymore till they're 28, 30 years old. And I know people that are in their 30s and they're still getting their education. They're career students. They just seem to have no purpose in life, no direction. They're just drifting along. So I want to talk to you this morning about this thought. Drifting. The dangers of drifting. Now, I thought about this for a right good while. I've run it over and over and over in my mind for several months. And I just, I knew what I wanted to say. I just didn't have a good illustration I could hang the points on that I could make vivid enough to illustrate what I wanted to say. But this past week, we were on vacation. We were with our daughters, our grandchildren, our sleazy son-in-laws. And Friday, we went kayaking. I've never been kayaking. I've done a lot of canoeing. I taught my grandchildren how to canoe, and then they moved away, and I gave the canoe away. But spent a lot of time on the water with them, and they know how to paddle and get in and get out and be safe and this, that, and the other. And there's a trick to getting into and out of a canoe. So I didn't think too much about it. Everybody wanted to go kayaking. I said, okay, I'm up for it. I know I'm prehistoric. I'm older than dirt. I'm the oldest one there by a couple of years anyway. But they wanted to go, so I said, okay, let's go. Well, they booked this thing, and we were going to go kayaking. It was a six-mile run. 6 miles with a paddle. It's 100 degrees. It's hotter than blue blazes. And you down on this river with a wall on both sides, there ain't a breath of air within 100 miles of that place. They want to go paddle a boat. So we did. Now to get to the chase, we got in our little kayaks, and you have to adjust them and fit them to yourself, and you can adjust the seat and all that stuff. Of course, there's still no way to get comfortable. And that one-size-fits-all thing is, that's not a good fit. So six of us? Seven of us? I don't know. There's a bunch of us. We're going. Everybody gets in their canoe. We get our kayak. We get all strapped in, and we've got water. We've got beef jerky. We are good to go, right? All we got to do is make 6 miles down this little river. And I'm thinking to myself, this won't be too bad, even as old as I am. I'm as tough as anybody else here. And I still believe that. I'll paddle a little. And we'll drift a little. Paddle a little. And drift a little. So we get in our boat. And it's a quarter of a mile to the first rapids. So we had to paddle the first quarter mile. Because I found out, even though there is a current and it moves, it is so slow that you don't feel like you're making any forward progress. And I kept noticing, even though I was trying to drift, it wasn't drifting me where I wanted to drift. The current in the river goes this way. And that's where all the big rocks and stuff was at. And that's where all the bends in the river was. That's where all the branches hung out over the creek. And that's where all the driftwood was. And I didn't want to get tangled up in all that mess. I wanted to drift over here in the middle where it was nice and calm and safe, and my boat wouldn't go over there, and so I didn't get to drift. I constantly had to keep working that stupid kayak to keep it over here. Because if I drift, I don't go where I want to go. And I got to thinking about that. I said, Lord, thank you for this illustration. I didn't know I was going to have to work so hard to get it. And if I had known then what I know now, I would not be preaching this message this morning, because I would not have this illustration. But I've got about 6 or 7 little points here about drifting. There's two things I want to point out, or two aspects about drifting. Number one, when we preach the message, I want you to think about drifting from God. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. You can just get further and further away. It doesn't take any effort. You don't have to work at it. All you got to do is just put the paddle back in the canoe and let the current take you. Let get in the flow of this old world, and the world will take you, and you'll just drift and drift and drift, but you will not drift where you want to go. You will drift away from God. That's why our churches are empty. That's why countless scores of men and women, boys and girls who got saved and loved God and were going somewhere and going to do something for God, they got lazy and they just started drifting, and now we don't know where they're at. The other thing is, drifting through life. That is, not having a goal to accomplish, not having some place you want to go, not wanting to accomplish anything, wanting to take time off and take it easy. I'm never in favor of that. I hear young people a lot, and they'll say, well, when I graduate, I'm taking the summer off. I owe it to myself. I've been in school for 15 years or whatever it is, and I'm just going to take the summer off and relax and have a good time, and then I'm going to go to school. I'm going back to college. I'm going back to Votech, whatever it is, in the fall. 2/3 of them never do. They just drifted through the summer, and they got accustomed to that being footloose and fancy free. They got used to drifting. It is just so easy. It didn't require anything out of you. That now they can't get back in the swing of having to paddle that canoe. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes labor. It takes determination. It takes sweat to make that kayak go where you want the kayak to go. So we have countless numbers of young people every year graduating from high school and then floundering. And when you see them 15 years from now, 25 years from now, 30 years from now, you say, what did you do with your life? How did you get down the river of life? Well, we just kind of drifted along. No, I never did finish school, never did get a degree, never did get a big job I was planning on. I never made the splash we thought we was going to make. Well, what happened? Well, you know, I took that first summer off and just got used to laying around and drifting and just never did get back in the swing of things. Drifting is dangerous business. So I'm going to preach to you this morning on the dangers of drifting. That is, having no purpose and no commitment in your life. He said, well, don't you think you deserve a little time off? Don't you think we ought to be able to take a little break every now and then? Nope. Too dangerous. Too dangerous. Number one, drifting never gets you anywhere fast. I'm in that stupid kayak, and there's a pretty good current in that river. And you get around them rapids and stuff, you can tell that. You don't see it right off just looking at it, but if you put your hand in the water, you can feel it. But if you put that canoe in the water, that boat almost, not quite, but almost comes to a standstill. And it just seems like it's just sitting there. Now, if you sit there long enough, it will move, and it will carry on down the river. And sometimes the current picks up a little bit, but you're not going anywhere quick. Now, we rented them kayaks, and that guy said, I think it was like 1 o'clock. He said, we'll pick y'all up between 4:30 and 5. If you get there a little earlier, call us. So we all jumped in a little kayak, and we're headed down the river. We found out real quick, if you're going anywhere, you had to paddle. It's 6 miles. That's a long, long way. And you just sitting there trying to let the current carry you along, you just ain't going nowhere. And in just a couple of minutes, everybody else is way on down the river, and there you are by yourself. So, because you just drifted. You ever notice young people, a lot of them graduate from school, they're going to get started in life, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, and then they look around in a few years, and the folks you graduated with have got a degree, they've got a good job, they've got a nice house, and you're sitting around there with nothing. I'll tell you what the difference is. The one bunch paddled. They had a purpose. They had a reason. They had a goal. They had an objective. You know what you did? You just drifted along. You just drifted along. You said, well, I'm going to take the summer off. I'm going to take Christmas off. And you never get anywhere done. You never get anything done doing nothing. If you want to just drift through life, just go ahead and consign yourself to accomplishing nothing. You're not going to arrive at any objective. You're not going to get to any goal in any kind of a hurry if you just drift along. And buddy, it said there's a time to every purpose under heaven. And when the time is gone, it's too late. You're going to end up one of these days looking back and say, I wish to God I had done this and I had done that, and I wish I had gone to school, or I wish... Too late! You drifted when you should have been paddling. You were lazy when you should have been working. And now it's too late. It's behind you. And buddy, once time passes, you don't bring it back. It's a one-shot deal. Drifting gets you nowhere fast. Number two. Drifting will sooner or later take you to dangerous places. You know what I noticed about that river the other day? That if you just let the river take charge of your kayak, it takes you places you don't want to go. The current is the fastest where it's going through them rocks. It's the fastest where it's making the bend through the river. If you don't steer the canoe, if you don't paddle that thing, it'll take you in all the places that are the most dangerous. It's going to take you over where you're going to hit the rocks or get caught up on the rocks. I got a great big old bruise on this ankle. Man, it's a big old ugly thing. It's sore. And it's because I'm going down the river there, and I'm doing real good, and I'm proud of myself, you know. And I'm just jogging, boy, and I felt just like I was, what's that movie where they shoot the gauntlet? I was getting into it. I was fixated on it. And all of a sudden, my canoe just stopped. I said, whoa, this ain't right. I'm doing good here. Get this on film. And it stopped. See what happened? Well, you know, I went where the rapids were. You know why the rapids are there? Because that's where it's running over the rocks at. You have to learn that. And so I got where the rapids were because I thought that's where the fun would be. That's when I hit the rock and there's this big shelf under it about that wide and I'm stuck on it. I ain't going nowhere now. I'm just stuck out there in the middle of the river, and the water's going by, and I can hear it rushing, and it sounds real good, but my canoe ain't moving. Then it started to kind of drift around sideways. Now, when it started to drift around sideways, I began to get concerned. Because I think, you know, if this thing gets turned around broadside, it's going to go like this. And Wotashia is going to be in the Wawa. I am not prepared to swim 6 miles. So I immediately got my paddle out and I start working myself off of that rock. I did finally free my boat, you know, but it about killed me, wore me out. It takes a lot more energy to get yourself out of the dangerous places than it would have taken to not go there in the first place. But if you just start drifting through life, you'll end up somewhere down the river in some place you don't want to be. You'll be with people you don't want to be with. You'll be in situations you don't want to be in. If you drift, you go with the flow. And the flow of this old world will not take you where you want to go as a Christian. It will not do it. You go with the flow of this old world and you just drift with the crowd, I guarantee you sooner or later you will end up in trouble. Number three. Drifting will take you where it takes every other hapless piece of debris. You know, if you take a log, a piece of junk, whatever, and throw it out there in the river. Now, we were on the James River. Throw it out there in the James River. And then just step back and watch it. And wait 30 minutes and throw another piece in right behind it. And wait 30 minutes and throw another piece in right behind it. Do you understand that all them logs, all that debris, ends up in exactly the same place? Ends up in exactly the same place. Now I looked, I'm being the keenly astute observer that I am, I watched the riverbanks. And you go down the river, and wherever there was a turn or a bend in the river or a little island was there or whatever it was, you would find all kind of trash and logs and stumps and all assorted debris. So why? Because the current flows the same way all the time. And anything that gets in the current and doesn't have the power to break free is going to go where the current goes. And so it's going to take you down around those curves. It's going to wash you up on the shore. It's going to get you in that little eddy there, in that little whirlpool. And you go round and round and round and round and go nowhere forever. You're not going where you thought you were going. You're going where all the rest of the drifters go. I don't want to be numbered among the drifters. I don't want to get to the end of the thing and say, I accomplished nothing. I got nothing done because I chose to just drift. I wouldn't fight the fight. I wouldn't pay the price. I wouldn't put in the labor. I wouldn't do anything necessary to accomplish anything. I just went with the flow. I went with the crowd. Is that how you want to end up? Well, just jump in the river and drift. And I don't care if that's the James River or if that's the river of life. You get in there, the current flows one way, and it takes anything that's not powered up. All debris goes to the same place. You're going to end up around some curve. I read a story one time. It wasn't a story. It was a book on archaeology. I was studying evolution and looking at those charts, you know, where they got the fish coming up out of the water with legs, and then he turns into a lizard, and then the lizard turns into something else, and, you know, that fairy tale. And they were talking about, they had found this man, this ancient man. Now, he's 4 million years old or 4 billion. I don't know what difference it makes. I think in the recesses of time, the difference between 4 million and 4 billion are a moot point. I'm only going to make it 70 or so, you know. Anyway, they talk about they found in this riverbed this man. Cro-Magnon man, Piltdown man, I don't know, one of them guys, I can't remember. But it was like a jawbone and a piece of a skull and a forearm and a couple of toe joints or something, you know. And they make all the rest out of plaster Paris. And they're talking about how they found this guy and how impressed they were. And he was the first step in the evolution. He was the missing link. All the scientists are all raving about this guy. And so, man, I said, well, that's pretty cool. And then I read on a little further and it said where they found him. And where they found him was, they found him in a riverbed wash. That is, there's a river and there's a curve. And in that curve, there's a sandy place there. I'm sure it's the erosion of the ages. But in that, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of bones. All kind of bones. Bird bone, dog bone, monkey bone, donkey bone, bone bones. And they just went in there and they just picked through all them bones till they got them 5 or 6 they could pass off on a bunch of suckers. They got out the plaster of Paris and stuck all that stuff together and said, look here what we found. So where'd they get it? They got it out of a giant pile of bones where the current of the river had taken all the debris. It's like the mass of humanity was piled up right there in the curve of that river that just went along with the current, and the current took them where it wanted to and deposited them over there. On the backside of nowhere, accomplishing nothing. So how did they get there? They just went with the current. They just drifted along. When you put your life in idle and just start drifting, that's how you end up. Amen? Now, my wife has got a... Missy, what relation? Yeah. A niece. Got a niece down here in the lower part of South Carolina. And they've got a very bright daughter, lovely girl. And these people aren't wealthy, but they are comfortable. They've always made her work. In the summertime when school's out, she gets a week, and then she has to get a job. They give her a week. Not 3 months, a week. She graduated from high school. They gave her a week. She went to work. She went to college as soon as the school was back in. She just went to Australia to study over there, some big deal thing. She's real bright and she gets all these scholarships and all this easy money. She goes to Australia. She's gone 5 or 6 months. She comes back. You know what they did? They gave her 2 weeks. This is full grown. I mean, this girl's not a teeny bopper anymore. She's a full grown woman. But she's still living at home, so she has to listen to mom and daddy. They gave her 2 weeks to rest up and visit and this, that, and the other. Then she had to find a job. So, well, couldn't they afford to take it? Oh, sure they can. That's not the issue at all. They're just not going to let her drift through life. Amen. This girl's going to amount to something if mom and daddy have to boot her through it. I said, I appreciate that. They understand that if you leave them to themselves, a child left to himself bringing his mother to shame, that you can't just let them drift. You got to make them do something. You got to push them. You got to work on them. By the way, you Christians are the same way. You know what every Christian needs? He needs a pastor, an associate pastor, that will just push you and push you and never give you a day off and never cut you any slack and never say you've done enough and never say you deserve a vacation you're never going to get time to drift. Always pushing, always riding, always motivating, always caring. Say, why? So that you don't end up in the turn of the river in a pile of nameless bones. Amen? Now, the truth is, when we went kayaking the other day, we left from a point, and we were going to a particular place. There's only one place where they pick you up. If you go anywhere else, you're on your own. If you want to ride back to your car, you got to go where the pickup point is. If you stop short, or if you go past, or if you go to the other side, you're on your own. There's one place designated to get picked up. You understand what I'm saying? Life is like that. If you want success in life, you've got to find a point to land at and then work until you get there. If you're a Christian and you want to end up in glory and you want something at the judgment seat of Christ, you've got to get busy and work and work and work. You simply cannot just drift through life. Number four. This is actually part B of number three. Drifting guarantees. There are a few guarantees in life, but this is one. You know, we want guarantees for everything. Drifting guarantees. There's a guarantee that comes with it. When you sign on to drift, there's a written guarantee. Money back. Drifting guarantees you accomplish nothing. That's what it guarantees. I don't know how many people I've talked to in my lifetime that had ability, that had potential, that had opportunity, that had means. And here they are, 60, 70 years old, never did anything, never accomplished anything, never became anything. When they get to the end of the road and you say, and what did you do with your 60, 70 years? Is there anything that you contributed? They're going to have to say, no, I just drifted. I drifted from this to there and from here to there. And then we drifted from down here and we drifted on down the river. And well, what did you do? What did you accomplish? Did you do any good for anybody? Did you do anything good for God? Were you a blessing to humanity? No, we just kind of took life easy. Just took it as it come. We just drifted along. Wind blew us this way, we went that way. Wind blew us that way, we went that way. What a miserable, pointless existence. Is that really how you want to end up? Is that the way parents want their children to end up? Do you know how life gets away from you? Just drift one day at a time. That's how it's done. It's almost imperceptible. Now, I've got a son who's 47 years old. 47. I know what kind of home he was raised in. And it wasn't perfect by any means. But it's not the source of his problem. He didn't own anything. He didn't have any money. He never got an education. He's never accomplished anything. If you were to eulogize him, you could not praise him or give him any accolades for accomplishment. He's never had any desire, any goal. Never finished anything. Never been anywhere. 47 years. You know what he's done for 47 years? He's just drifted. He had intentions. He had dreams and goals and aspirations. But it was always going to be tomorrow or the next day. Or as soon as this took place, or as soon as that happened. And he just drifted from today to tomorrow. And then he drifted from today to the next day. And from that day to the next day. And pretty soon, you're looking back, and you're way down the river, and there's no starting point, and nothing got done, and you just drifted your life away. Just wasted. Good mind. Intelligent, quick, alert. Just wasted. Drifting will leave you spent and wasted. That's the ultimate outcome of drifting through life without purpose. People say, oh, so-and-so's just a workaholic. Usually, that's not true. I believe in workaholics. I've seen some. I am not one. I'm like Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said, my father taught me to work. He never taught me to like it. But I found the only way you get anything in life is to work at it. You got to pay a price. I can't go fishing every day. I got to make a living. I got to save some of what I make because one of these days I want to retire. Obama or no Obama. And that doesn't just happen automatically. You can't just drift through life and then say, and you know, and people get down and say, boy, old so-and-so's got it made. I wish I had. You could have had. You could have had. You know what you did? You chose to drift instead. While they were working and doing something and accomplishing something, you just laid back in that old boat, man, just letting the current take you on down the river. Man, this is cool. This is easy. Look at the old fools over there working. Yeah, who's going to feed you when you get old? Christians do the same thing, serving God. No purpose. I'm saying that's all I care about. Yeah, one of these days you're going to hit the judgment seat of Christ, and that ain't all you're going to be interested in. When they start passing out them rewards, and when you pass through the fires of judgment for works, you're going to would to God you had just drifted through your Christian life. You're going to wish you had got up and done something for Jesus Christ. People drift away from church, they drift away from God, they drift away from their convictions. You don't do that without paying the price. At the end of the run. The other day we were kayaking, and I was bringing up the rear, And I told him that's because I was keeping my eyes open in case anybody else got in trouble. And the truth was, I was going as fast as I could go. I got there last. But blessed be God, I got there. I was 66 years old. I was hurting. My arms were falling off. My back was killing me. When I looked up and saw that bridge, what we were looking for, we started at one bridge and we were stopping at the next. And I knew when I finally saw that other bridge, home was in sight, buddy. I knew I could make that last 3/4 of a mile or whatever it was. Oh, man, it breathed new life into my weary body. And I rode with energy and purpose. When I got down there and turned that canoe to come up in that little slip where they land, I was as quick and as deft as anybody. I didn't let them know the old man was wore slam out, buddy. And one of them said, well, we was wondering if you was ever going to get here. I said, I'm here. I'm here. I finished my race. Amen. You say, was it worth it? Well, let's look and see what it would have been if we hadn't. What's the alternative? Drifting will leave you wasted and spent, a derelict on the side of the bank somewhere. Do not spend your life just drifting. Don't waste your Christian life just drifting. Well, we go to church some, you know, and we're good people. We don't drink, smoke, chew, run around with girls that do. Yeah? But are you in it with a purpose? There's a time for every purpose, but there's no time for drifting. Matter of fact, I guess you could rephrase it and say, there's just no time for drifters. I thought about a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about this. I was going to use the tumbleweed, out in the desert. Now, you're talking about drifters. That's a drifter. They literally go wherever the wind blows them. They are attached to nothing. They have no objective, no purpose, no goal. And they will just lie wherever the wind leaves them until the next time the wind comes by and it takes them wherever it wants to take them. But I ran out of points, so I didn't use that one. Matter of fact, I even thought about using several illustrations. A balloon, you know, and the tumbleweed. But then I really like this kayak. I thought, as hard as I worked in that boat, I ought to get some good out of it. Point number 6. Drifting is to be avoided at all cost. Well, we just need a little time off. No, you don't. Somebody find that for me in the Bible, will you? Find for me in the Bible where you need a break. Where you've got to have a little time off. Where you've done enough, you've earned enough, you can back off and take it easy and let somebody else carry the load. What do you do in those times? You drift. And drifting is never good because it never takes you where you want to go. You never accomplish anything while you're drifting. Why not just avoid drifting? Amen? He says, well, I just want to have a good life. I just want to be happy. Hey, cowboy, God gives you happiness. God gives you peace. God gives you contentment as you go down the river of life serving God. Pursue it, and it becomes elusive. You never find it. Just get in the river of life, put your oar in the water, and accomplish all you can. Set out for your goal, and don't quit, don't quit, don't quit until you get there. Last but not least, drifters always lament a wasted life. Have you ever noticed people that start out to do great things, ill-prepared and ill-equipped, always blame something or somebody for their failure? There was a mom and a dad here a few weeks ago, let their 16-year-old daughter set out to sail around the world in a 40-foot boat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know how small a 40-foot boat is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? I've been on an aircraft carrier, 1,200 feet, in the middle of the Pacific. And it bounced us around like we were a cork. From the water to the bow of the USS Enterprise is 90 feet. I've seen the waves break across the bow and come across the flight deck and hide the superstructure, which is 11 stories tall. You couldn't even see it. It weighs millions of tons. It carries 5,800 people and 120 airplanes. It has 4 nuclear reactors. And that storm in the middle of that big Pacific made us feel like a bug. And these people were going to let their daughter sail around the world in a 40-foot boat. And she didn't make it. She got over there and run into a little old storm, tore her boat all to pieces, and they had to come in and rescue her. When they got to her, she was adrift. Just drifting with the current. Wherever that big, ugly ocean wanted to take her, that's where she was going. And the truth is, if somebody had not come in and bailed her out and rescued her, that girl would have perished. Adrift. Life takes some planning. Life takes some work. Life takes some purpose. Life takes some direction. And that's to get through it physically, to make a living and to prosper and to have anything, to accomplish anything, to have made your time on earth worthwhile. Takes effort on your part, and to serve God and to accomplish anything for God, to do anything for Jesus Christ, to have any spiritual impact, to have any eternal impact on anybody is going to take work and dedication and purpose. You will not get it done in life or in Christianity by just drifting. Just cannot be done. We made a 6-mile trip in that stupid little plastic boat. And I guess we worked too hard because we got there an hour early. I guess they were expecting us to stop along the way and have fun. Well, I'm telling you. The only thing I can think about is getting my boat home. I didn't enjoy anything until I saw that bridge. So what part of that trip did you enjoy the most? The end. One of these days, we're going to pass out of this life into the next. I want to enjoy the end. In order to do that, I cannot drift downriver. If you want it to end like you want it to end, if you want the end of your life that you've always imagined, you just can't drift through it. You're going to have to work at it and steer your boat and stay in the middle of the stream and stay in safe water. You've got to have a goal. You've got to have a purpose. You've got to have direction. And you've got to stay at it and stay at it and stay at it. It struck me the other day how quick, when I quit paddling, the river took control of my boat. And if you don't stay at it, this old world and the flesh will take control. Your boat will be out of control and your life will be wasted. I beseech you in Christ's name, don't drift through life and don't drift through your Christianity. Let's bow it. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for purpose and direction. Thank you that you give us strength that we might